cannot bind the next council to fund anything, whether we fund it off of the youth, Office of Youth Violence Prevention or the Human Rights Commission, ongoing today, does not bind the next city council. They ask the same questions when the budget comes up about what is being accomplished in any bureau, including these two items we're talking about, and they can decide not to fund it any further, even if it's ongoing. There is nothing permanent about ongoing funding. What we're trying to do is figure out from a very technical point of view how to make our balanced budget with the various responsibilities that we have, and the debate is not with us about whether or not to fund this after next year. There will be resources, other one-time resources, to continue funding it, but it allows us to balance exactly what it is we have to fund, which is specifically a union contract that was settled, and still fund programs like this. So I don't want you at all to be misled by the politics of this to think that somehow there's not a commitment to ongoing funding. There absolutely is. And whether we fund it ongoing or not makes no difference as to whether or not the next council decides to continue funding it or not.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you.
excuse me, I was sleeping. Good morning, Mayor Potter, commissioners. My name is Ronald Tangsayang Katalani, and I'm here to thank you for your support for the diversity and civic leadership part of the budget. Let me say, I've been 40 years in the United States and 20 years in Portland, and three times before this council, all in the last 3 months. So I think, at least for me, and I'd like to think for the families, the constituencies of immigrants and refugees I represent, that this is a good turn of Portland. We saw this morning schoolboys and schoolgirls in front of City Council, and we saw this morning homeless men and women in front of City Council, and to newcomers, to folks unabashedly happy about democracy, those are all wonderful things, the things actually, besides those jobs that we came to United States, to Oregon, to Portland for. So thank you for your support. We understand the rigors of politics and that promises for money are never more than that. But thank you for your support for this part of the budget, for diversity and civic leadership. I'm going to turn my 52 minutes, 52 seconds to my colleague, Casey
Jama. You can't do that.
Of course.
Good morning, Mayor Tom Borer and City Commissioners. My name is Casey Jama. I am here today as a resident of City of Portland. I'm here to support on a few projects that I involved. I was original advisory committee of the that studied at the Office of Human Relations creation. Also, the Diversity and Civic Leadership Academy, the Diversity and Civic Leadership and Organizing Project, Immigrant Refugee Task Force recommendations. All of this, I was heavily involved. And I want to really take the time to all of you to think about hard. I understand that you're working hard. I understand that there's a lot of challenges and a lot of issues that we have to address as a city. I understand that. But I think it's also important that particularly the issues that are related to the community of color being carefully addressed, and because whatever we say, it's fine, but I think the important is when the bottom line is that the commitment of the city council, it has to come with the resources that is being provided. I think that's the most important thing. And the secondly, I think to be honest with you, Randy, I want to disagree with you for a minute, because the question is that difference between ongoing funding and one-time funding, even if it's a symbolic, we have to do that because the Office of Human Relations, it's going to be the mirror of the city of Portland. I have a community who are coming to my office every day telling me that how they are being discriminated. And my office does not have the capacity to address those issues. And I think it's important that all of us pay attention. I understand that. But I think it has to be ongoing. I understand that the city council next year and the year after might either remove it or not remove it. But I think if we have two light items that says one is permanent and one is not permanent or ongoing, that it really shows that there is a distinct. And it has to be accordingly put together as a permanent funding for the Office of Human Relations. Thank you.
Thank you. Next three are Brad Dennis, Rebecca Black, and Ron Laster.
Could you read the names again?
I think they're coming. Yep. They'll be followed by Gary Blackmer, Bill Leong, and Marianne Schwab.
Thanks for being here, folks. State your name when you speak. You each have 2 minutes. Go ahead and begin.
I'm Rebecca Black, and I'm the Director of Oregon Outreach. This is our 20th year serving young people in Portland, and we target young people who have dropped out of school, who are at risk of dropping out of school, who are gang involved, or who are at risk of being gang involved. It's often said that if you're going to do a program that's preventative, you have to start with really young children. And what I have found after 20 years is that even as teenagers who have had troubled lives, that they can be turned around and you can prevent future problems of violence, of homelessness, and the other things that our city faces. A year ago, when the Office of Youth Violence Prevention was formed, I think during the course of that year, the money that was spent was stretched very, very far, and I can tell you that literally hundreds of young lives have been impacted by the work of the programs that worked with youth through that office. One of the things I've seen in my community, Northeast Portland, is that programs come and go. Programs start, they have dollars, and the dollars go away, the doors are shut, and young people once more lose opportunities and lose hope. So today I'm asking you to consider not just funding the Office of Youth Violence Prevention, but funding it, and I'm going to say the same thing everybody else has said, ongoing funding. I guess we've learned something here today, but any way to adequately fund that office, because it literally can be the difference between life and death for a lot of young people. And you've got many great proposals before you, and I don't see any that you can disagree with. However, again, this will literally save hundreds of lives, in my opinion, and cause many of the other problems you're facing to not be there for at least a lot of people if they can receive the support and the encouragement from the providers and through that office. So, thank you.
Okay. My name is Brad Dennis. I'm Ho'eyot from the west coast of Vancouver Island. I work for the Native American Youth and Family Center as a Youth and Elders Council Coordinator. I've been in that position for 4 months now, actually 5 months. I started January 7, 2008. And I am advocating to continue funding for the Diversity and Civic Leadership Project. Right now, the Youth and Elders Council is turning out anywhere between 80 to 120 Native American youth and elders, community members, and concerned citizens to address civic issues in a city that we love. And so every month, we are heavily, heavily wanting to be involved in this community, in this country that we are founders of. And so I want to ask that you, and thank you also for providing this support and opportunity for our community voices to be heard. Next month, we're going to have members from the city, from the county, from Metro, and to come and speak to us on how we can advocate and build partnerships and share our ideas that we have with the city, the county, Metro. We'll have TriMet coming in the future. So this is a great opportunity for us as a community to finally have our voices heard and bring our ideas that we have to the table. We believe that we also have solutions to many of the challenges that are coming in the future. So I just want to ask you to continue support that project, and we will be here with you in bringing our ideas as well. So thank you.
Good morning, gentlemen. My name is Ron Laster. I've been a citizen of Portland for 30 years, living in Northeast. It's only been for the last 17 years when I became actively involved in the Northeast Coalition of Neighborhoods Board that I became engaged and active citizen in our dear city. I think there was a great degree of wisdom and insight shown 2 years ago when the city elevated the issue of youth violence prevention to a bureau level. It really gave a lot of us in the neighborhood a venue to address and to focus our attentions and energies on how to deal with this ever-increasing and ongoing issue. So to put it very straightforward and very blunt, what I'm here to do on behalf of the citizens of Portland, on behalf of Northeast Portland, on behalf of all the youth that come into our facility either as volunteers to the coalition or they come into our facility through the juvenile justice system through the county, I ask that you deeply consider maintaining and further supporting the Youth Violence Prevention Bureau that we currently have. It has empowered many different programs to act in unison for, I think, one central focus and one central cause, and that is to basically give direction, give positive impact for the youth of our community. The issue of gangs and youth violence is something that is not diminishing. We currently have a program working with Portland Public Schools, and the thing that we consistently hear is how ever-present the threat of continued gang influence in our school system is. I had a meeting with an official last year, and the words were quoted to me. They were not surprised at how prevalent youth violence and gang influence was in the high schools. They were shocked by the evidence of how much youth violence and influence was in the junior high schools. And gentlemen, give it another 3 years. As a generation cycles through, we're going to be dealing with youth violence prevention in the elementary schools. This bureau is critical to the livability of our city. It's critical to make a statement in terms of what we see as the future of our community. Thank you.
Next three are Gary Blackmer, Bill Long, and Marianne Schwab. They'll be followed by Tamora Barnes, Robert King, and Lisa Reed Gennaro.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, state your name for the record. You each have 2 minutes. City Auditor.
Gary Blackmer, City Auditor. This is my 10th budget, and I've tried a variety of different methods of succeeding in getting my budget requests approved, and I'm willing to try this one as well. I'm advocating for the one ad package that remains in the mayor's proposed budget. Let me give you a little background on it. My office had requested an additional halftime position last year to increase our ability to do investigations and independent police review. That wasn't approved. This year, my office found savings and other offices put it together in order that we could hire a half position within our constraint figure. We had a number of hearings and public sentiment around increasing our capacity to do investigations, and I requested additional resources for that as well as outreach. The mayor added a half a position for investigations so that I could actually have a whole person. And I appreciated that, and we were eager about moving forward with the hiring. That there is a proposal out that would make that position one-time-only funding. I can't combine one-time-only funding with ongoing funding to hire a person. So that one ad package, the only one that is left from what I had requested, really, if it's amended in that way, has no value to my office. So I'm here here to advocate that that position be funded with ongoing so we can have enhanced investigations abilities and independent police review. So thank you for your time.
Bill Leong, Executive Director for USTA Pacific Northwest. I'm just here to give you a quick report to confirm that our board of directors have given me the verbal vote on the $20,000 pledge to partner with Nike on resurfacing Portland tennis courts. And so I'm just here to confirm that with you. Our board resolution will take place in a couple of weeks in writing, but we just wanted to let you know that it's contingent upon the city's support for that. Thank you.
Gentlemen serving the council, my name is Marianne Schwab. I live inner city, Sunnyside neighborhood. I'm here to thank your staff, Colin McCormick in the Community Connect VIP number 8, and Jeremy Van Curen for helping me find an error in the budget. We found the error, and they were really quick to put a backfill and fix it. And I'm talking about safe routes to school. I'm delighted to know that $250,000 required to complete the commitments in line for several elementary schools will be done now this summer. And I'm hoping that Safe Routes to School is equally funded in future years. Having little ones get to and from school in a safe manner is really, really important. And by the same token, when we talk of funds and budgets, I'm hoping that the BIP, the Community Connect, will be funded by ongoing city council members. And thank you for the opportunity to let the public participate in this process of reviewing the budget. It does work, even at the last minute. Thank you.
Thanks, folks.
The next three are Tamora Barnes, Robert King, and Lisa Reed Giornaro. And the last person is Mike D.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record. You each have 2 minutes.
Whichever you would like to go. Mayor Potter and commissioners, my name is Lisa Reed Guarnero, and I am a Diversity and Civic Leadership Academy participant and through the Center of Intercultural Organizing. And I'm also the widow of Stanley Reed, who was a black man who was murdered in Portland, Oregon in 1985 simply because he was black. This year, on January 16th at Jefferson High School, you unanimously voted in support for the resolution to develop a human relations commission and to adopt the recommendations of the Immigrant and Refugee Task Force. Thank you. That was a great decision. As many people who testified that night pointed out, we're nowhere near Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream. It's quite apparent that you all agreed and felt that there is a need for both of these programs. Bear with me as I digress for a moment. When I was young, I used to think that history was boring and unnecessary. I felt like, who cares what a bunch of dead guys did? I mean, that was a long time ago. Well, now I'm older and wiser, and I realize that there's a lot to learn from history. I know now, for instance, that history quite often repeats itself. Has this been your observation, commissioners and mayor, that the history has been known to repeat itself? I think we probably agree. Well, once upon a time, the Human Commission's relation had disappeared from the city. Why? Because it was cut from the budget. So since we know history repeats itself, proposing to fund the Human Relations Commission and the Diversity and Civic Leadership Academy for only 1 year conveys a message of non-commitment by the city. I understand there's no guarantees from year to year, but please consider the uphill battle the underrepresented and disenfranchised have to begin with. If you designate ongoing funding for the HRC and DCL Academy, you will make our battle easier and let the residents of Portland know that you truly care and have their best interest at heart. Please deliver the right message. Please designate ongoing funding for both of these two very important programs. Thank you.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Tamora Barnes, and I'm a member of the City of Portland. I'm here today to advocate ongoing funding for the Youth Violence Prevention Program. I believe that this is a program that is critical to the safety of our community. And I know firsthand the impact of what gang violence can do. My son, Devontae Lightfoot, was murdered on June 7th, 2007, as a result of gang violence. And the young man who's charged in his murder was also 16 years old. So clearly we have a problem here. I can't tell you enough how much this program has helped people. Part of the other programs that it's connected to has helped my daughter through this difficult time, her loss, and helping her to maintain her sanity. And I just want to ask that you consider strongly the continuing funding and increasing gang outreach and prevention education programs, mentoring and employment programs, as well as helping families increase the role of the parents so that they're more involved with their children. I think this is something that is critical. If it's not funded, I think we're going to see ourselves going back years where we did have a problem where it was much more worse than it is now. I'd hate to see that happen, but I believe that together with the support of this program and the community, we can make a difference. And I know that the government cannot fix everyone's problems, nor should they, and I don't believe in just throwing money at programs, but when you have a program that has results and is showing that it works, it should be funded.
I'm Detective King, President of the Portland Police Association. First of all, I'm very sorry for your loss and hopeful that the council is supportive of the program that you've just talked about. I understand that there is not a vote today on these three particular Bureau budget items, the training facility or the steps towards the purchase of property, beginning that project. The money for the Tough books, and the third item, a certain dollar amount, I believe it's $1.8 million, towards some unfunded or some funding some positions to increase the staffing in the Police Bureau budget. So I'm just here on behalf of all of the officers, sergeants and detectives and criminalists that I represent, letting you know, I think there's some pictures that you have there that gives you an example of the sorts of environments that we train in. We have not had a training facility that's been available to us to use in the 20 years that I've been in Portland. And we're in need of it now. And the regional training facility model with other partners, I think, is one that will work and will serve the interests of the community and the Police Bureau for a long time. So we're hopeful that in the final analysis that you're supportive of the $12 million that's necessary to make that project come to life. On the Tough books, I understand there was some talk about taking away certain money and that the money that was apparently to be pulled would have had an impact on the operability of the Tough book system itself. It would have eliminated the air card. So I don't know. The laptop computers in the cars for field reporting and increased access to mugshots and a variety of other investigative systems. So we're very hopeful that at the end of the day that you're supportive of the money that is necessary to get us the technology that other agencies have had and that we have been lacking for as long as the last 10 years. And then you know that the Police Bureau staffing levels have been cut over the last decade virtually every year, and we need probably now more than ever to begin to restore some of those positions. So ultimately, I'm hopeful that you're supportive of a Police Bureau budget that accomplishes the three goals that I've outlined.
Thank you.
The last person to sign up is Mike D.
Howdy, Council. Mike D. I'm here to talk about the budget for a moment. I wanted to make sure that when we're working on the budget that we get the right to sleep in there, that that's budgeted in there. I wanted to let you know that I felt the council was doing a disservice to the public and to yourselves by putting multiple budget items on the consent agenda. It's important for people to know what things that you're consenting on. People who are watching online or watching this on cable don't know what those consent agenda items are. Many things are important things. For example, there's a protest out front. They're asking for all kinds of services and stuff. One of the things that you have on your consent agenda has to do with, you know, ready to rent program. You know, we all know that Housing First is a good use of funds, and it shows that people are, when they get Housing First, they're able to deal with addiction issues. There's self-confidence that's there, that they're able to possibly get jobs, have some stable stuff, get some sleep, and be more productive citizens to the community. I didn't see what happened with the person over here because I was out of the room. And part of the reason why I missed that is because you put it out of order. There was item 606 and 607 that were time certain. One was scheduled for 9:30. One was scheduled for 10:30. And then the consent agenda. And it's now 11:01, and you already did your consent agenda. You did it before those two items. And so when I wasn't sure what was going on, when I looked at the screen on there, it said consent agenda. And so it concerned me, and I thought, oh, this is the time when I need to speak out. So I'm sorry if it felt like I was trying to be disrespectful, but I felt you were being disrespectful to the community here who are trying to follow your agenda and time frame. As far as the rules of council, those don't seem to be available for people to know what they are. They are available, but they're not readily available. I asked for a copy, and they said that they could get them for me after the meeting, which doesn't help to conduct myself properly during the meeting. I can stop and testify at the next thing, I guess.
Well, I wanted to explain to you, and I appreciate your explanation, is that the consent agenda is actually heard after communications. It's listed on the actual calendar differently, but we always hear the consent agenda prior to hearing the time cert. So that's just for your information. It was not changed for today at all.
Okay, but it is misleading.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is that it?
That's all signed up.
So I wanted to clarify a couple points. The suggestion was made earlier that the discussions that go on from here now until the budget's done be transparent. I want to make it real clear that the discussions that are happening revolve around a document. And the document, which is a suggested change to the mayor's proposed budget, has been distributed to the media for over a week. I've had 20 copies printed, and Carla has them for people to be able to see and easily understand what the suggested changes are. It's simply a one-page document, and if you have any questions about it, you're free to contact any of us on the council, because there's and Commissioner Adams suggests I post online. I will make sure that's available on our website. Maybe the mayor wouldn't mind having OMF put it up along with the mayor's proposal so that people can see it. And I just want to take a moment to, I apologize if this is repetitive, but I think it's important in light of the testimony to make clear this approach that I'm hoping the council considers, which isn't to replace the mayor's budget, but to amend it, to make changes. There's a lot of passion around ongoing funding of the Office of Human Relations and the Office of Youth Violence Prevention. There's as much passion, as you heard also, about things that aren't funded in the mayor's proposed budget, such as making sure that people who work with the most disadvantaged in this community, who make $12 and $13 an hour and try to raise their families on it, get a raise. And to be able to give them a raise, a 3.8% raise, we have to rework the budget so we have the funds available to do that. And one of the things that we're trying to do is figure out how to satisfy all the folks that are here and do it in a way that we fund the services, but maybe fund them differently than what the mayor originally proposed. So things like the raise for the people that we heard here today, also funding, which I believe is important, I know the mayor agrees, 6 additional inpatient treatment beds for people who are driven to commit crimes in the community because of their addiction to drugs and alcohol. We've shown that providing treatment not only makes them better people and gives them a chance to succeed in life, it also reduces crime in the community. That wasn't funded in the mayor's proposed budget. We're discussing doing that. As I mentioned, alternative prostitution, the Mount Tabor Master Plan, hugely important project. We had a huge disagreement here with the Bureau of Parks 18 months ago or so about the Mount Tabor maintenance yard, whether that should be sold to the college next door or retained and rebuilt so we had an adequate maintenance facility there. We've asked the community to be involved. We've asked the Bureau to be involved. The mayor didn't fund the last half of the study to make sure we have a good plan. This proposal does. In order to do that, we have to fund things different, such as the Human Relations Commission, to be able to have the resources to do that. The Arts Partners is a hugely successful program to teach kids in school the value of arts. And in order to be able to fund that, we have to fund differently what the mayor is proposing, so we have the resources available to provide this kind of outreach to students in schools. The IFCC Center, I've mentioned, some people don't think that tennis is an important program. It wasn't funded in the mayor's program. There are others who think that it saves people's lives by giving youths an alternative to not having recreational opportunities. We're trying to come up with the resources to fund the tennis pro, continue funding that. In order to do that, we have to balance that with ongoing resources and one-time resources. And again, that explains why we're proposing to fund the Human Relations Commission one time. And finally, the fitness equipment at Matt Dishman. Matt Dishman provides, formerly known as Knott Street Community Center, recreational activities to youth in our community. I used to go there as a youth myself. It's a hugely important asset in the community to upgrade the equipment for the kids. We have to figure out how to fund differently the programs that we're debating here today. So it's a long way of concluding with, by just saying this, I said recently here that it's easier to motivate people by appealing to their fears than to their higher intellect, because appealing to their higher intellect requires nuances and discussions about very technically difficult items for even us to understand. And I fear what's going on here is an attempt to appear to people's fears rather than it is to have them understand we have a broader context that we're having this discussion in. We have a lot of needs in the community that I'm sure everybody, if they heard them explained, would understand and support. And what we're trying to do is have that discussion here. Have that discussion, try to figure out how we can address a number of needs in our community and doing it in a way that's respectful to the minority community, the immigrant community, and also to the people with substance abuse issues, the youth in the community who want recreational opportunities. So again, if you want to look at what the discussion point is, there's copies up here. I will make sure it's posted on my site later today. And the whole point is I want to have, and the council wants to have, a broader community discussion about what we can do with all the resources the city has. And I think we can do better than what's been proposed. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Well, I just, consistent with this broader discussion, I've asked financial planning through Ken Russ to do an analysis of this proposed amendment to the mayor's budget. And when will that be ready for us?
Casey Short, Financial Planning. Again, Commissioner Saltzman, pursuant to getting your request yesterday afternoon, the analysts put together a draft collectively of the impact of the alternate proposal. I just got it before, right on my way over here. I've read about 10% of it. So we'll be able to get something out, I would expect, by the end of the week.
Okay. Great. Thanks.
I wanted to make a comment. There's been some discussion here, and I think that we're going to have a good discussion as a council over the next few weeks. I want to tell you my side of what the difference is between ongoing and one time. And if there's anybody that disagrees with it, please point out where my errors. Ongoing means that it's built into the budget and that next year it's got to be removed in order to take it out of the budget. That's ongoing. One time means it's funded once, and unless the city council puts it into the second year budget, it's taken out. That's a very simple and very distinct difference between those two things. And I think there is both a, and that's the reason why most bureaus fight to try to get as much as they can in ongoing and less in one time, because they know the realities are that if we have a downturn in the economy, there is going to be less one-time money, and thus those programs become more susceptible to being cut because they're one-time. So that's a very clear distinction for me in terms of how the budget process works, and that's why I believe it's important that we set priorities as a city about how we're going to spend that money. We have excess money, folks. We're not fighting over a 3% cut. We're fighting over $33 million in excess funds, and so it's important that we prioritize those things, and I made it clear in my proposed budget, and I said at the time, I know that everything in here is not going to be approved, we're going to change, but I said very clearly is that we need to prioritize. And to me, for instance, the public safety system revitalization project is very important because it goes to the ability for public safety systems to communicate with each other in the time of a crisis or on a day-to-day basis. And our system, Motorola has said that in December, the end of December of 2009, they're going to discontinue maintenance of that system. I want to make sure that that system is going to be in place by then. I want to make sure that our regional training facility is going to be in place because, quite frankly, you didn't see the pictures up here that that were provided by Robert King of the PPA, but the fact is that often our officers go to the gun range, and it's flooded, and they can't go, or they stand in the rain in order to try to qualify with their weapons. The driving, likewise, is out at the airport. Unless we're chased off because you're doing maintenance on a plane, we need to have a permanent training facility. And this is a problem that is not unique to Portland, but is shared by the entire region, and thus the entire region wants to participate in the purchase as well as the construction of a regional training facility. Those are the kind of issues that we're going to be discussing over the next few weeks. You can tell that we're passionate, we feel strong about these issues, but we're also going to, as Commissioner Leonard said, engage the public so that there is transparency and they can hear what the discussions are. So thank you very much.
I want to take you up on your offer, Mayor, of correcting you. When you suggest that ongoing funding somehow guarantees that an item be in the budget, that's a mistake. It requires an affirmative action of the commissioner in charge of any bureau, whether it's ongoing or one time, to submit a budgeted item to be approved by the council. And you can just as easily drop funding of ongoing positions by not including it in the proposed budget as you can one-time money. The fact of the matter is, if we recreate these positions, they're actually civil service positions we will create that will be official positions in the city budget. And whether we supply ongoing money or one-time money to fund those positions, it requires an affirmative action on the part of the council to fund those positions. And for us not to submit one-time dollars to fund it would have just the same effect as if we did not submit the budget to fund them ongoing. So the actions are no different. There are positions in your office, Mayor Potter, that have been one-time funded since you've been here. There are positions in the Bureau of Planning that have been one-time funded for years. There are positions all over the city that have been one-time funded. This only becomes an issue now, again, because of a disagreement on the budget, not the funding mechanism. And I think that a further discussion of this will educate the public to understand that this is a debate of a distinction without a difference between whether or not we fund these positions ongoing or one time.
Well, folks, that's the preview of coming attractions. So you'll be able to hear the whole thing live. I do have a couple of questions for the city attorney. There are a couple legal issues on here in regards to approving of the levy as well as the state revenue sharing. Can we wait until June 4th to do that, or do we have to take that issue up now?
I'm going to have to research that and get. Can you
get back to me?
Get back to you before the end of
the meeting. I would imagine it can wait until June 4th, because that's when we're going to. If there's something that precludes it, then we'll move it a later date on it, or a sooner date than June 4th.
Well, I understand that for the next 2 weeks there will only be 3 members of council at the next scheduled meetings. Is that correct? Is that my understanding of that correct?
Would it be possible to vote both on the revenue sharing as well as the actual allocation for the levy?
No, I'm not prepared to do that until the budget's settled.
Are there other members who are willing to do that in order to get this passed? Because we're not going to have a quorum the next 2 weeks. That means it'll
you'll have a quorum.
Have a quorum.
I can phone in if I have to provide a fourth vote from the exotic locale of Cannon Beach.
I think if you find out between now and 2 o'clock, let's say, that we need, it would be good if we did vote on these today, then I'd be prepared if we could do that at the beginning of the 2 o'clock session.
Well, in the spirit that the mayor mentioned earlier, Commissioner Salzman, of trying to get 4 votes, which I would like to pursue as well. You've already heard one person who's not comfortable doing that, and I think we should, if we don't need to,
A legal issue.
If
it's a legal issue, then right. It would be okay.
I'm happy to vote for it if it's a legal issue. Okay. I'm hearing it's not a legal issue, and I'm not prepared
I don't have a final answer for you on that, sitting here right now.
I have a couple other smaller issues. The earliest that we could get the police training center, which I'm supportive of pursuing, is a much bigger price tag than what we have money for right now, correct?
Correct.
So I'm looking at these pictures, and these are the first time. And so that will take time to gather all the money together, perhaps many years, numerous years. I think sort of getting started on the feasibility of it makes sense. But I'm looking at these pictures that are underwater, and knowing that it's going to be years and knowing that operationally how much of a hassle it is when this thing's underwater, could we hear back from the police bureau or general services what it would take to maybe get the water out of there?
The water's in Canby, Oregon.
I know, but if that's causing us overtime and lack of training, I'd like an interim 5-year solution to.
It probably would require a different location.
I notice half of it's above water, and half of it's below water. So there might be an interim cheap fix that would help out operationally with and overtime with the police bureau. I'd just like to hear.
Including the possibility of another location.
Well, in the short term, short-term additional.
This is a gun club that we rent.
Yes.
So it's not there's nothing permanent about it. But if there's another location that would be more suitable.
In the short
term. Willing to explore that, yes.
Yep.
Yeah, good.
Okay.
Good.
Well, in the interest of clarity as well on the specific issue of the police bureau's training facility, I don't want people to misunderstand the mayor's comments that there is an agreement on this council to fund a new training facility. The difference is that the training facility that's being proposed costs upwards of $100 million to build. There has been $2 million put on the table in the mayor's proposed budget to buy the land. He and I and the police bureau agree for that to work, we have to have partners in the region help purchase the land and pay for the $100 million project. They have not made a commitment to do that yet. So what I have proposed, which I think is doable, is to put on the table in what we're proposing a $200,000 budget item in order to buy an option to purchase the land. And that will give us time then to work with Washington County and Clackamas County and Clark County to see if they're willing to put their money where their mouth is, to be very frank, and say, yes, you have purchased an option. We will now commit to X millions of dollars to help you build this facility. It seems to me to be a more prudent approach, a more realistic approach, than just outright buying the land before we have anybody committed to help us build this project, which we all agree needs to be built. But I'm not willing to put money forward based on a promise. I think it needs to be more solid than that from our regional partners, and this budget allows for that to happen.
One of the, further clarification is maybe of there's the alternative sets aside $250,000, and that was a plug number for now, right? So if we could get a little more clarity whether an option really does cost $250,000.
I thought it was two. Is it 250 or 200?
250. 250. It might or might not be high. If there are any savings there, we might be able to plug it into an interim shooting range that isn't underwater for 6 months a year. A couple of other quick things. I just want to make sure that the council knows, as I talked to the announced to the public, that the PDUP projects that are in the pipeline for the next 2 years are undergoing a 30-day review for the accuracy, the cost estimates with fuels and material prices going through the roof. And these estimates were required to be turned in to OMF last October, and we're seeing about a 20% spike or more in basic material and fuel prices for PDUP. There's a 30-day review. It doesn't affect the overall balancing of the budget, but it might mean that we might need a little while longer on the PDOT piece. That includes both the where we're the contractor, GTR, General Transportation Revenue, and also when we're funded by the federal or state government. And I think that's it.
Further comments?
If I might add one thing, Mr. Mayor, just to clarify. Last week in the discussion, there was also a request from council that we seek an extension from the Tax Supervising and Conservation Commission for the deadline for submitting our budget. And we have received word from TSCC that that request has been granted, and we are now we now have a deadline of June 5th by which we need to submit the approved budget.
Okay.
Oh, one other item. Sorry. I'd ask council to consider a policy that any utility license fees above what appears in the financial forecast for the next 5 years would be dedicated to transportation. So we'll have more discussions, and we've got some analysis of this. This is coming at the recommendation of the 89-person Safe Sound and Green Street Committee. So it's a non-cut request. But anything above the 2.5 that I think Drew has assumed for utility franchise fee growth over the five-year financial forecast.
The city attorney wishes to make a comment.
Mr. Mayor, in an effort to be timely in this discussion, I have been advised that it is legally acceptable for the tax levy and the revenue sharing to be considered together with the remainder of the budget. It does not need to be broken off. So it is something that could be taken up again as the budget discussions go forward.
Thank you. Okay, there have been significant amendments to the budget, and in the interest of transparency, community involvement, and to allow council more time to resolve outstanding issues, I'm continuing the budget committee until June 4th, 2008, where we will vote on the approval of the budget for the City of Portland. The Budget Committee is adjourned. Return to the regular agenda. The 10:30 time certain, please read that.